welcome everybody to another edition of Are You Not Kentertained? Today is June 19th. It is episode 54. It's a Monday, and that can mean only one thing. We just had like the 19th pay-per-view of the year. Congrats, WWE. You're making my life a living hell. I am joined, of course, but with Steve, or by... What is it? Is it joined with, joined by? How would you say that, Steve?
I would say joined by.
Okay, we'll go with that. Joined...
I'm not an English major, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Both sound wrong in their own little weird way, but whatever. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. No, a bit humid out, but other than that...
So... On my way home, I just got home, as I told you earlier, I went to Burger King, and they have the mac and Cheetos things. I've never tried them. And I know that, like, they're going to be gross and probably give me a heart attack, but I still got to try it, right?
You have to, yeah.
So that'll be a fun little experiment as we go along. I also have my tall 92 mug of... White Russian, and I think we're going to be good to go. I think we're in for an entertaining, dare I say, entertaining podcast, because we just had Money in the Bank. I don't know about you, but...
Two Money in the Banks.
Yeah. For me, Money in the Bank is probably my second or third favorite pay-per-view of the year. Like, it's right there with Royal Rumble, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, usually the Money in the Bank itself is a good match. At worst, it's good. Usually.
Right, like, it's kind of like the Royal Rumble. I mean, how often are you really, really saying, oh, the Royal Rumble out and out sucked? 2014 excluded.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, these things are not that good. Wow. Nope, anybody listening to this, I do not recommend the Mac and Cheetos from Burger King.
Well, they came back, so they must be... Someone likes them.
Stoners? Millennials?
Ah, damn millennials.
When in doubt, blame millennials. All right, so let's start off. We had a pre-kickoff show. It was the Hype Brothers versus the Colognes. What'd you think about it?
It was a good dark match to a house show.
That kind of sums it up. Hey, at least we got the commercial in the middle of the match. Don't care how long the match is, we gotta have that commercial.
You have to have that. It's like a law.
Zach looks like he normally does. Like, I didn't see much ring rust, did you?
No, not from what he was in there. I mean, he was in there for like, what, a minute or two? It seems like.
Yeah, it's kind of bad when Mojo's your workhorse.
Yeah, he's gotten better, though.
I would agree with that. Mojo has improved. Is there any saving the colognes? Like, should WWE just do the mercy thing and release them so they can work other places?
Maybe NXT?
Yeah. I mean, they're really good in ring hands, and that could really bode well for NXT as far as helping. I'm fine
with
that.
They need tag teams, too. I mean, what do they have? Like, three tag teams?
Heavy Machinery.
That's all you need.
Authors of Pain, and I'm out already? Is there more?
I don't think so.
Oh, well,
technically... I'm flying the long feud.
Sanity, technically, may be a tag team.
Oh, yeah, they've done so much since they showed up.
Yeah. I kind of actually like Alexander Wolf. I haven't seen much of him, but... I kind of like his look. I'm curious to see if he can actually work a match, though.
And his hardcore dancing?
Well, yeah, of course. I don't know. Like, I'm in favor of them keeping the colognes because I don't think they're going to make nearly as much money outside of WWE.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sure TNA will throw money at him.
TNA. We hardly knew ye. Do you get the vibe that they're going to be turning Zach on Mojo at some point in a month or two?
Someone's going to turn on someone. I think it might be Mojo, because he had the singles thing going before when Zach got injured. Did an okay job. He won the Andre the Giant thing without Zach. I mean, he had help from Gronkowski, but so he might say Zach kind of holding him back.
Okay, I could see that. I'd been predicting Zach would turn, but that's actually a better story. Mojo was doing okay on his own, and then Zach comes back and back to the tag team, you know? So that either way, it works as a story.
Yeah, either one can turn on him.
I feel the turn will come when they get their tag team title match. That seems the most logical place, right?
Maybe right after, like, they'll lose probably, and then the turn will happen.
Yeah, they'll lose and, you know, hug it out bro style and be like, oh, it's all right. And then, you know, fucking Shawn Michaels, Mario Jannetty shit. I also cut myself. Good for me.
Good job.
Do you think it's better to break up the Hype Bros, or would you rather see how well they could do as a tag team?
They need tag teams. American Alpha went MIA.
There was six tag teams on the pay-per-view, and not a single one was American Alpha. That tells you something, does it not?
Yes, that's sad.
Like, did they piss somebody off? Is there a secret injury we don't know about? Like, when was the last time we saw American Alpha? Was it April?
It's been a while. Pre-WrestleMania, so yeah, probably April.
Wow, so even possibly March. So they've been out a while. And doesn't it kind of make you wonder, you know, if they're not going to use them, why didn't they just send them to Raw with Kurt Angle and kept Ginger Rhinos over on SmackDown?
That's true, because they're not being used in Raw. So,
although, quite frankly, I don't know. Raw has a bigger roster for the Cracker Club, which is what I'm calling it, because Rhino with his crackers. I just want them to make a whole Cracker Club of jobbers that sit around eating crackers and cheese.
It'd be interesting, like the APA, drinking beers in the back.
Exactly, only toned down for a PG generation.
It would work.
I think it would sell shirts. It would definitely sell shirts. The Cracker Club?
Yeah, without a doubt. At least one.
I'd consider buying one.
Two or three.
I don't know. I don't really have anything else left to say about that match.
It was a match.
It was a match. It happened, and I kind of was mad that I turned off Friday the 13th, the video game, to watch that match.
How is that?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'd much rather talk about that than this match.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
fantastic match, and actually, on my way home, I ran into a buddy who also, he's like, have you played Friday the 13th game? I'm like, yes, I have. So far, I got three other friends that play it. Of course, one's on Xbox, one's on PlayStation, one's on PC. Yeah, thanks. It's fun. Very fun. My biggest fear is that the community will only last for maybe 6 months, so if you are interested in doing it, don't wait to save the $10. Just fucking buy it now and enjoy it, because it is a ton of fun. I highly recommend, if you're going to play, mute everybody, because people are assholes, and I just don't feel like listening to these people. I don't care if they're trying to communicate and be like, hey, this is what we should do. Nope, don't care. I just want to do my own thing as a counselor. And if you're Jason, you don't get to hear anybody anyways.
I heard they're coming out with a single player storyline also at some point.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, which, cool as shit with me, man. They have six different Jasons, I believe. And each one has pros and cons, like strengths and whatnot, like grip strength or faster water swimming, or all of your powers with Jason. You have some knives and you can get some bear traps, but by and large, your main thing is to use your powers to kill people, and your powers recharge. So you get like sense, which, if you're using sense, it's almost like predator vision, where you can see red people on your screen so you can find them easier. You have like a morph where it's like Evil Dead, where, you know, like in Evil Dead when you're flying through the woods. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
That's cool.
And then they have one where like you can look at the map and just pick a place on the map that you want to travel, and you just fast travel real quick. And then basically you grab them, you know, like you're the fucking Big Show, and you have a variety of options that you can give yourself, or you have environmental things like I don't know, you see a spiky tree limb? Great, impale them on it. There's a fireplace. Great, throw them into the fireplace. So it's a good time.
Now, if you're a counselor and Jason's nearby, do you hear the music?
Yes, the music does change, and sometimes the screen even goes, like, snowy, like, you know, like back when you had fucking antenna or something back in the 80s, how TVs would go snowy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And my understanding is that some people are kind of creeped out by it. It doesn't faze me in the least, and I admit, I'm a person that jumps at jump scares sometimes. This doesn't faze me. It cracks me up.
Well, it's weird. Sometimes jump scares get me too, but I mean, if it's like a horror movie, you kind of expect it in a game too.
Right, like
games are less.
Go ahead.
I think I only jumped at a jump scare in a game was playing Resident Evil, the first one.
Resident Evil
really
has gotten me
too,
a couple
like,
times.
Like the dead guy in the ground came alive, and I was like, oh shit. And then, you know.
Like, was it by like a locker by any chance?
It might have been. It was like probably the first couple hours.
Okay. I mean, there is one that got me good. There's a couple in Resident Evil 4 that got me. Just because it was nighttime and I couldn't see shit. And I wasn't expecting it. And all of a sudden got attacked by these villagers and it freaked me out. And I do jump. There's a mode in Resident Evil 5. Where this big guy, who's kind of similar to like what Pyramid Head is, he's fucking scary as fuck. And you open the door and he's there, and it's terrifying. There was a game called Eternal Darkness. I will never forgive that game for scaring the shit out of me. There is one scene that absolutely makes you jump. There's no shame in it.
Huh.
Actually, the original Friday the 13th on NES. When I was a kid, did you play that?
Okay. Oh my god, I owned it. I could never do anything in it. I got killed like almost immediately all the time.
Didn't he frighten you sometimes though? Like when you're on the trail and you're just hearing, did it, and then dun 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 dun, and he just comes and kills you.
Yeah, I was also like 10 back then. So.
Well, yeah, plus you're probably also playing it like in a dark room and having a good time, and all of a sudden, you know, fucking scream like a little bitch, and it's a good time. I loved that game.
It was a game. I didn't like it because I could never beat Jason.
I remember when there was a Kmart in Amsterdam, like they rebuilt it and whatnot. And this was like late 90s, like 98, 99. And they were selling Nintendo games for like $5. And that was like the first thing I bought from them was fucking Friday the 13th. Because I didn't have a copy. I'd always rented it or borrowed it.
Yeah, now you do. And did you ever look up how to beat it or did you just...
There's a great video that I have bookmarked just so I can actually listen to the music more or less, but it's so hard to do because if you accidentally pick up like the dagger when you have like a really good weapon, you can't get your really good weapon back. So you gotta be very precise. You gotta be able
to. It's kind of like Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, well, Ghosts and Goblins. That's fucking brutal. Fun game, but so brutal.
Yeah, you're like the wrong weapon and you're fucked.
Absolutely. good times. So, anybody listening, buy Friday the 13th. And if you buy it on Xbox or PC, I'm on PC, I am on Steam. My name is Wallblob, Wallblob. And if you're on Xbox One, my screen name is Malarkey Show. There's a space in between Malarkey and Show. So find me. We'll play.
I heard it's better if you have friends so y'all can cooperate trying to beat Jason, too.
Well, yeah, working with strangers fucking sucks because you always
have... Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, you always have, especially on PC, that person that's, like, trying to record a Let's Play. So, like, they're making commentary the whole time. It's like, will you shut the fuck up? And then you got somebody who's trying to be cutesy and have strange voices or playing some kind of audio in the background, which is irritating. Like I said, I mute everybody. I just do.
Yeah. You're the one asshole counselor that goes off by himself.
Oh, I've gotten so pissed off because you can, like, Jason can cut the power and you can use a flashlight. Every counselor has a flashlight. Well, I'm with these three dickheads and they keep turning their flashlight on. I'm like, you know, the whole idea here is not to friggin' entice Jason into a fucking battle here, and that's what they're doing, so I snuck up behind one and I started beating the shit out of the counselor, even though I was a counselor. You get negative experience points, but it felt so satisfying.
That's pretty cool, though. You can still do that. That's cool. They don't have the friendly fire off.
Yeah, I actually beat another counselor's ass because you go into a cabin and you close the door and then you hold like your A button to lock it. And if the door's locked, it's harder for Jason to burst through. Well, this person sees me. I'm following behind them. They close the door in my face and lock it. So I go through the window, find the person, and I took a machete to their back a few times. I felt it was fair.
That's right. Yeah, that's fair.
Like, it's just a dick move otherwise. So, I mean, I'm assuming right now, if anybody's listening, we have sold them on this game. I'm guessing.
Those five fans of yours.
God, we overestimate our fan base.
As soon you can play with them on PC or Xbox One.
Yeah. Good times. All right. We'll go back to wrestling for a little bit. Because I know we're going to get into a conversation in a little bit. Because just remind me again to a conversation about Bruce Campbell. I know that intrigues you already.
Can we just skip the whole wrestling thing and go right to that?
Well, we gotta give a break in between some of these shit matches.
Yeah.
So, speaking of shit matches, the women's Money in the Bank match. Did you expect anything better, and were you disappointed, or were you okay with the ending?
I'm not as upset as some people online are about the ending. The match itself was like ladder match 101, introduction to ladder matches. Which I guess you kind of expected, because some of these women haven't been wrestling for a long time. I think if you get some of the indie wrestlers into a Money in the Bank match, it'll be much better next year.
I agree. I also kind of felt like someone like Carmella shouldn't necessarily be in a ladder match, because I feel she could break easier than, say, Becky Lynch, who is a little thicker, or Tamina, who is definitely thicker. Or Natalya, for that matter.
Yeah, if this was on Raw, it wouldn't happen, because there's no way Sasha Banks or Alexa Bliss would survive a ladder match.
Right. And I wouldn't even want to put Emma in there and risk her being out for 9 months.
That would happen, too, probably.
There was a lot of outrage. I had to deal with some outrage myself after the match. And to anybody who's pissed off, go fuck yourselves, okay? The rules of the Money in the Bank ladder match simply states there's no DQs. The first participant who is holding on to the briefcase after it's been off the hook is the winner. It is as clear-cut, night and day, as humanly possible. There is no disputing the rules. This isn't like 2 weeks ago when we had a submission match and the ref kept having rope breaks. There's no gray area here. It's very black and white. Am I wrong here?
No, you're absolutely right. The problem is everyone online is like, oh, it was a historic night for women, and the women should win the match, not a man, and blah, blah, blah.
Which, to me, was great. Like, that was so great. I was like, oh, God, they just fucked the women's revolution in the ass and pulled their hair, and I was just, like, envisioning, like, I was Lexington Steel just raping the women's division at that moment, and I felt great about it. Fucking fantastic, man. Like, fuck this women's revolution. Anybody that expected this match to be good, you haven't been paying attention. Because this women's revolution, yes, they have progressed a little bit, but let's stop fooling ourselves here. Women's wrestling is as behind men's wrestling as the WNBA is to the NBA. Yes, those WNBA players would whoop our asses, but are they very good or entertaining to watch? Hell no. Okay? Same idea with the women's match. Yes, they give us a glimmer of hope here and there, and they can work a competent match, but by no means should they be main eventing shit. They shouldn't be doing these ladder matches. They're not at the skill level yet to put on a good match. There are some women out there that would be capable of it, but WWE is never going to put that right combination of six girls in the match to make that a once-in-a-lifetime spectacle. Would you agree?
Did you watch the most recent NXT?
No, was that the Asuka, Nikki Cross, Ruby one?
The backstage brawl thing. Yeah, they had a good ending. They were more extreme than Extreme Rules.
Good for them. I also missed out on the week before. I'm 2 weeks behind on NXT. So, yeah, I got a lot of catching up to do.
Those two were pretty good. I think they would do well in a ladder match.
Nikki strikes me as a girl that could do well, and Asuka strikes me as a girl who could do well. I don't know about Ruby. I'm still kind of concerned about Ruby. I don't know yet. She has potential.
I feel like she could do well. I don't know which one fought men in the indies. I don't know if she's signed by WWE or not.
Now, here's something else, because I like insulting women here. How fucked up was it that there was a holy shit and this is awesome chant during that match, in which there was not a single spot that would possibly have ever elicited a this is awesome or holy shit back in ECW days? Like, there was nothing in that match that elicited that reaction, was there?
Modern fans bastardized that chant. They ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, like, there was nothing. Like, Charlotte's move off the top rope there.
She's done that before.
Not only that, but it looked like shit. It didn't look like she did any damage. Like, yeah,
she landed in between them. Like, in the middle of them, she landed.
Yeah, like, they were there to catch her, and it just looked poor as fuck, quite frankly. And that got, I don't know if that got the this is awesome or holy shit. It was one or the other. And I actually had, I was texting Carrie and Russ during this, and I was like, really? Like, that got the fucking, this is awesome? Blew our minds.
You set the bar low.
The bar is getting set so low that James Cameroon will not be able to sink down to the ocean and retrieve the bar this time. That's where we're heading.
That's quite the metaphor there.
Yeah, anybody who watches South Park would totally have gotten the reference. Just, there was an episode where the bar got set so low he went down and, like, retrieved the bar and raised it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
It was also Cartman and Honey Boo Boo, so there's the idea there.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Carmella was the right choice to win, right?
Yeah, because I'm sick of Charlotte. The heel. Yeah, I mean, the heel champion. Heel challenger for the face champion.
It makes more sense because she already has Ellsworth to carry around the briefcase. He's like a living accessory unto himself. Like, she was the most logical choice on appearance, on character. And I think she's the most underrated female on the SmackDown roster, period.
I mean, no one wants to see Tamina and Natalya in a match for the belt. So there's two gone.
I didn't know Tamina was as old as she is. She's pretty old.
She's probably, what, 30-something?
Yeah, I just didn't realize she was that old.
Yeah, her and Natalya have been on for a while, apparently, wrestling. I don't know what Tamina's been doing, but
I don't know, like, Charlotte and Becky were instant no's for me, and I've been really pissed off had Charlotte won it because I hate Charlotte, and maybe that's partially why I hated this match, because I cannot stand watching a Charlotte match.
Now, why did they just bring in the St. Louis All-Stars for the Orton match? Because you would think they'd mention Ric Flair in the audience for Charlotte's ladder match.
All right. Yeah, and, I mean, since we brought it up, first of all, I don't think they were out there for any other match that, like, I was looking, I didn't see them, and it, as you say, it would have made sense for him to have been acknowledged. Second of all, how shitty was it on WWE's part to have Ric Flair out there when Bob Orton should have been the center of attention for the angle? Like,
right, exactly.
Ric Flair's going to overshadow anybody you put out there, so don't just have Ric Flair out there for Charlotte's match, but not, you know.
Especially since no one associates Ric Flair with St. Louis wrestling.
Nobody. Nobody in their right mind associates him. I thought fucking Larry Henning deserved to be up a little higher, quite frankly.
Yeah. The Hennings were more. They were from Minnesota, weren't they?
They were Minnesota. St.
Louis.
They worked like the mid. I don't know. Is that Midwest?
AWA Midwest, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just felt Ric Flair was there to be a glory hog, and I mean, fuck it. We're jumping ahead in the future a little bit, but quite frankly, when Bob Orton was getting fucked with, Ric Flair's there. He's got his fist all curled up, and he didn't do anything. It's not like it would have caused the DQ or anything. So why didn't he hit them? Baffles me.
Maybe when he retired, he vowed never to throw a punch in WWE.
That That seems reasonable. I mean, Shawn Michaels also did the same thing, except he's been sweet chin musicing people every time he comes out, it seems.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. It really baffled me, but...
Probably because Flair would have got a huge pop for that and stolen it from Orton.
He would have stolen even more of Orton's thunder, yeah. I agree.
Why not have Cowboy Bob punch back with his broken arm, whatever he had?
It would have been hilarious. Like, I was cheering on... And, plus, I gotta say, Bob Orton had a great head of hair for his age.
He did. Yeah.
Also, Tamina is 39.
I didn't think she'd be that old. Actually, like mid-30s.
Right. I didn't. And I'm looking at her Wikipedia page, and she has a shirt that says Feel the Glow. The reason I bring this up is because most everybody has Netflix, and they have a full season coming up later on this month or early next month for Glow. Have you seen the trailer?
It starts this Friday, I think, they release it.
Holy shit,
I haven't seen the trailer. But apparently Allison Brie's boobs are in the first episode. So there's that going for it.
Well, that's fan-fucking-tastic already.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, at least.
Do you think they will do justice to the Glow that you and I knew?
Oh, I hope so. It's tough not to, I think. I really hope so.
I really hope so. And every time I think of Glow... I mean, I know they're never going to include it in this TV show, but if they could somehow just sneak in Al Bundy watching Glow, that would make me so happy.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Like, I think that was the only show that did anything with Glow. Can you think of any other show that did anything with them?
No. Just the Married Children, because they were awesome.
Exactly. I don't know. Either way, keep your eyes out for the Glow TV show, I guess.
Yeah, it's like... Whatever, 10 episodes, whatever Netflix does.
Yeah.
All at once, you can watch it.
Oh, God. I just did the whole fucking Orange is New Black thing just last week or the week. No, two Fridays ago, basically. Binge watching. I actually just binge watched the last full season of The Leftovers on Saturday. And for such a great show, what a shit fucking show of an ending.
Well, they have the guy who did Lost as the director, right? So...
That explains so much. Oh, God. Everything that we just said made me sad a little bit. Let's move on. We had the New Day versus the Usos. What did you think about it before I go into a little rant?
The ending was awful. That's an ending that should probably happen on SmackDown, not on a special pay-per-view, which has really lost all meaning now.
The match itself, right, the term pay-per-view and special event has lost all meaning
since every other week there's one. It's like, well, it's just another show.
I agree with you on the ending. It could have been done on a SmackDown, but it was, I mean, let's face it, once again, I dealt with people that were upset about it. Realistically, come on, people, it was just a way to extend the feud for another month or two. That's all it was. This has been going on since before I started watching. It's
instead of 4 weeks to build up the feud and continue matches, they have the exit show.
Right. I had two gripes. One, when Big E had his botch with dropping the Uso, I really wish Big E would have called an audible, because it looked so bad with the Uso kicking his legs up to try to help Big E. I mean, I know he was trying to do what he could to help, but it came off so scripted, so fake. Would you not agree that looked terrible?
Yeah, but I mean, what can you do at that point?
I'd call an audible and stomp him, drop an elbow, do something, and just keep the flow of the match going, and maybe call for that same spot again in a minute or two. I don't know.
That makes sense. Maybe more experienced wrestlers would do that. Big E, I don't know how long he's been wrestling, but...
Yeah, I mean, had this been 10 years ago, I think, or 20 years ago, definitely, you would have seen an audible. Now audibles are tougher to call. Because I don't really know where else Big E or the Usos have wrestled. I've only known them in WWE.
Right.
So Big E,
yeah, as far as I know, came up through the Performance Center.
That would make sense. I mean, he was a big, hulking black dude, of course, like, they probably got their clutches in on him, you know, pretty early on, and Usos probably didn't have to do much. I mean, they're fucking Rikishi's sons, so...
Yeah, they got silenced at 18, probably.
Right. So, I don't know. My other issue was the one pin attempt when the ref counted three, and then the Uso hit it, interrupted it. And I'm like, they always preached that what the ref does, you just go with it. So, if the ref counts three, you award those belts to the New Day, and then you rewrite the script over the next month to however you want it. But the ref counted three.
Right, the ref counts three, it's supposed to be end of the match.
Exactly.
Watch.
It's just... I just felt like nobody had their shit together there.
Yeah, that's not surprising anymore, I guess.
No, I've come to accept that and also feel really sad about it. I don't know. Like, I wanted to like the match, and it wasn't a bad match, by no means. It was actually one of the better matches on the card, in my opinion.
Well, but again, low bar.
Realistically, would you watch that match again?
No.
Right. And this is the problem that we had with the last pay-per-view. There was, like, probably one whole match that was, like, worth rewatching. And I'm looking at my ratings that I gave, and there's only one match on this card that's worth rewatching, which is obvious, and we'll get to it.
Breezango and Ascension?
You know it. let's talk about another great match. Let's talk about Naomi beating Lana. Now, I will proudly say that before the match started, I said to Raylene, I said this match is going to get over at 9:04, and at 9:04 that match did in fact end. I was very proud of myself. It made sense for it to be a 7-minute match. Give me your thoughts, because I have, surprise, surprise, I have a gripe and a rant to go on.
For being Lana's first ever match, it could have gone a lot worse. I didn't like having Naomi kick out of the finisher of Lana's already.
Yep, that kind of already unestablishes that as a finisher.
And the Carmella thing didn't make any sense at all.
Alright, here's my gripe, and I know for a fact that you can relate to me on this one. Lana, the whole match, works on Naomi's knee. Lana hits a finisher that attacks the back. Lana doesn't have a submission hold that attacks the knee or a finishing move that attacks the knee. So why are you spending 7 minutes attacking a body part that you're not going to go after for the finish?
The only thing I can think of, and they probably didn't consider this when they booked the match, was she knows Naomi's offense is based around her quickness and ability to agility, I guess. So you take the knee out, she's not as agile?
Well, and I agree, that's a great point. Shouldn't the announcers have told us that, though? That would have made the match a lot better.
Yes, announcers would help. Solid match.
Like, JBL, I would actually expect JBL to have said something like that. It would have really added a little bit to the match.
You know, you have to wonder, like, if JR was there, would these matches be better?
JR tended to have a magic touch of making a lot of matches, at the very least, seem bigger, seem more important.
Or even Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh, sure. Give me fucking Ventura. Give me Macho Man. Macho Man on commentary was good. Give me fucking CM Punk on the goddamn mic. I don't give a fuck, but announcers...
CM Punk's good.
Like, these announcers suck. They do.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't want to call matches anymore. They always have to push the next match, next event.
Booker T does an adequate job, and he always makes me laugh at some point. He's not a great commentator, but he's a good side guy.
Yeah, he's... Well, he's talking Sonic was terrible, but he's good as commentary.
Right. Moving forward, will Naomi get right into another feud, or is her and Lana still going to go on for another month or so?
I don't know what else they can do with Lana. They had her come out, get a match for Naomi, and then her finish is done. No one can, you know, lose to that now. So I don't know.
Yeah, I really kind of felt that they could have done a lot lot of different things with that match and protected Lana for the future. I don't feel that they protected her in any way.
Oh, no, not at all. It'll probably lead to her being Rusev's manager again.
Which I'm all about, her machkaing. Also,
hopefully it's her and Rusev against Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I really see Mike Bennett and Maria versus Miz and Maurice.
It has to be a crossover pay-per-view, though.
And it'd be four people whose name all begins with M. Think about how fucked up the announcers would get during that.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, so all the same initials will, yeah.
Miz, Mike, Maria, Maurice, yeah, that's going to be, there would be a couple botches calling
and
that.
And Miz's first name is actually Mike.
Yeah, that's even better. Wow, that's pretty goddamn funny. I like it. You know, and they can't do anything with Rusev to help him protect Lana because WWE's not about that shit anymore. Like, you can't have a guy, unless it's James Ellsworth, kind of cause interference, but never really do anything.
Right. You can't have anything against women.
No, because they're historic and first time ever, no matter
what. It's terrible when Stephanie just belittles everybody and slaps everybody and no one does anything.
I agree with you.
But that's off track. That's on Raw.
That's on the B show, which I still consider Raw the B show.
Maybe even C show. I mean, you throw NXT in there.
All right. If we're going to grade all four weekly shows, so if we're saying 205, NXT, SmackDown, Raw, I would have... I don't know. I like SmackDown a lot. I would still say SmackDown's the A show, but the past couple months have been iffy. But overall, they've been the A show. After that, I would say NXT, then 205, and then Raw, but... Oh, 205 goes through some really good runs.
I like 205, but I don't think it's better than Raw. I mean, the hour helps, obviously.
The hour helps. It's their match quality needs to improve, and that's, you know, as you've said numerous times, they gotta let the cruiserweights be fucking cruiserweights.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely SmackDown than NXT, even though NXT is mostly squash matches lately.
I think Rich Swann should wear a shirt that says, "I'm a peacock, you gotta let me fly," which is a reference to the other guys, and start, like, protesting that he's not allowed to do as many moves as he's capable of. Or Cedric Alexander. Give it to somebody who can really work that angle. I think it'd be funny. I think it'd drive up some merchandise.
Especially with, what the hell's his name?
Wahlberg?
Drew Gulak doing Gulak? No fly zone thing.
Right, like, I think that would just really work well. I don't know. It'd be something different, and 205 is definitely could use different things.
Yeah, they need something.
Well, fortunately, and I hate to say this, but fortunately Austin Aries is gone for a bit, and I really think when he comes back he should be on commentary, just my opinion. He should have never left.
If he's in a wrestler, he needs to be a heel.
Yeah, he's just not face material.
I feel like if you switch him and Neville, they can have a feud go even longer.
Oh, God, yeah. But Neville has grown into his role so well.
Oh, yeah, he's real good as a heel, too.
Like, I'm really impressed by what Neville has accomplished. As a matter of fact, he flies under the radar quite a bit, and I think he deserves more credit for doing a character overhaul, quite frankly. Like, people can turn face or heel and totally suck at it. Neville took the ball and really ran with it.
Yeah, he surprised me how good he was. I mean, he was on TV for, like, what, 2 years before that, so...
I mean, it gives me hope for Apollo Crews someday. Someday.
You don't like the tennis band it's going?
I liked how it started, and then there are weeks where I really like it. Like, last week, for example, when Titus was... with Akira Tozawa and singing "It's Raining Yen."
Yeah, that was good.
That was fantastic. That was the highlight of the week for me. It's something I've said to you. I just don't like the whole, "Oh, I'm getting confused because my coach is yelling at me" thing. I don't like that.
Yeah, I feel like all of the wrestlers, especially Apollo Crews, probably had high school, maybe collegiate careers as athletes. And they had coaches yell at them?
Oh, God, yeah. Apollo Crews strikes me as a guy that probably did a couple of sports And he's very muscular, very athletic, quick. I have to assume football, at the very least.
Probably running back, yeah. Or track, maybe? I don't know.
I could see him doing track. Probably not ice hockey. Probably not basketball.
I think he's too short for basketball.
It's a bad build for basketball. It really is. Speaking of which, I mean, we usually wait till the end, but Warriors won. We all kind of saw that coming.
Yep.
Are you up to date on the whole Paul George saga?
Next year, Lakers.
Yep. And Cleveland's supposedly in the running to try to trade for him.
Oh, for 1 year?
Yeah, and they're hoping that if they got a championship, maybe that'd be enough to coerce him to re-sign with them.
Maybe. Maybe LeBron just goes to Lakers.
I'm sick of these super teams. I'm so sick of... The commissioner needs to do something, and I'm sick of like people saying, oh, there's always been super teams. Not in the way that we're having super teams now. It's different, and people don't want to acknowledge that it's different, but it is definitely different. And people don't want to say LeBron... Like, people get upset, like, LeBron wasn't the first one. He wasn't the first person on a super team, but he was the first person that helped make a super team. And that is a big difference. It wasn't the GM or anybody that made that decision. It was them colluding during the Olympics saying, hey, if we all got together, we could fucking run this shit. That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it is. Same with, Durant denies it, but the Warriors all calling him and saying, like, we need you to win a championship.
I'm going to not say that Durant's a scumbag, but from a fan's perspective of what he did and how he did it was a scumbag move. As far as I know, Durant's a really nice guy, and he does a lot of good things. So the man himself's probably not.
What he can't do was a Stone Cold beer bash thing.
It was just a bitch move. It was the biggest bitch move I've ever seen in basketball, I want to say. Like,
yeah, I mean, how do you choke the playoffs and then go join the team that beat you? Like, I just wouldn't do that.
What cracks me up is that people sit there and they say, well, Durant has really high basketball IQ and Russell Westbrook has such low basketball IQ. And I'm like, if anybody saw that series last year, you would know that Durant and Westbrook equally choked that series away by... Like, it's not one-sided at all. Like, they both had equal say in how shitty they choked that series away.
How can you say a guy who has, like, a league-best triple-doubles in the season had low basketball IQ?
Because white guys are stupid as shit. They don't know shit about basketball. That's what it comes down to.
Well, they can't jump, so...
Right. Like... There are so many fucking dumbass white dudes that follow basketball and don't know a goddamn thing about it. To the point that there's dumbass white dudes that are like, yeah, LeBron's better than Jordan. No. No, no, no. I never, ever in a million years would I ever say a guy who's, what, 3-8 or 3-9 in the finals is better than Jordan?
Yeah, I don't see the point in seeing that comparison either, but it happens all the time. Someone comes up, is awesome, and they compare him to someone else. Like, I don't think Montana is worse than Brady.
Oh, fuck Brady. Brady's had a stacked team his whole career, and he has one of the all-time best coaches.
And he had the NFL give him that playoff game against the Raiders.
Well, yeah. And the reason behind that was the playoffs... Right after 9/11, so the NFL wanted a team called the Patriots to win it. I'm wrist deep in that conspiracy theory.
That's what I've heard. I believe it. It makes perfect sense because that was not a fumble.
No, that fucking tuck rule is one of the worst things that ever happened, and it derailed the Raiders for over a decade. That team was stacked. That team was going to win the Super Bowl. I feel
they had a good chance. Yeah,
they still had Tim Brown and Jerry Rice, I believe, at the time. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's almost as good as Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall this year for the Giants.
Hopefully. No, I know you're a Giants fan, and you know I hate the Giants. But I will ask a serious question and try to be non-biased. Is Odell Beckham Jr. a likable person if you're a fan of the Giants? Because I can't stand the guy, and even if he was on another team, I'm not sure I could quite stomach him. So is he cool on your team at least?
If I had no access to his off-field antics, and even some of his on-the-field antics, I would say he's awesome.
Fair enough.
He's one of those people I think should have been beaten as a child.
Yeah, he wasn't punished enough as a kid.
That's what it seemed like to me, at least. Maybe he got what he wanted and kind of still does.
And wide receivers, more than any other position in football, even worse than quarterbacks, tend to have that prima donna sensibility. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. T.O. and Randy Moss and Dez Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, shit, go back to fucking Michael Irvin, man. And
oh, yeah, him and his coke.
That's one thing I can say. Like, Tim Brown never struck me that way. I don't think Jerry Rice was big before I even got into football, but he never struck me as too much of a prima donna.
Yeah, they seem to be, you know, hardworking guys. Even Marvin Harrison, but then you find out he shot at someone or something, and I don't know.
I liked Marvin, so yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's more a generational thing, because, I don't know, it seemed like in the 90s, mid to late 90s, all of a sudden you had all these prima donnas. I don't even remember Herman Moore. He was a hell of a good wide receiver. I never heard shit about that dude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's a millennial. It's a next generation, I guess. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. In the NBA, do you see any outcome other than Cavs versus Warriors Part 4?
I doubt it.
If you're the Celtics,
hopefully.
If you're the Celtics, wouldn't you be throwing all your weight to try to get Paul George at this point? Like, you don't need another. Like, I know they traded the number one for Philly's number three. Philly fucked themselves in that trade, by the way. I can't believe how much they gave up just to move up two spots to get a guy that's really not any better than what they would have gotten number three, hypothetically.
From what I've read, and this was like a Yahoo Sports article, so I don't know how good this guy is, that deal for the Celtics maybe lead to them trying to get Jimmy Butler from the Bulls, maybe George, maybe Hayward from the Jazz. So, hopefully.
If I'm Gordon Hayward, I don't leave the Jazz. I think that team has a really good chance at being a Western power, because the Spurs can't last forever. They just can't.
Yeah, but if you got 2 or 3 years with the Warriors still.
If I'm the Spurs, I'm considering what it would take to get Paul George, actually. Because if you combine Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, you have two of the elite defenders at the position where you need elite defenders.
Yeah, but then you have an aging front court.
True. And you probably have to give up LaMarcus Aldridge, which doesn't quite fit into the Pacers, because they got Miles Turner.
But the Pacers are, you know, going nowhere.
Right. I don't know. I would like to see the Spurs. I know that there's rumblings about Chris Paul, which, you know, I'm fine with. It's better than the Clippers. I don't know. I like the Spurs way more than I like the Warriors. I'm not going to go on record and saying that I like the Celtics more than the Cavs, but in theory, I probably do, just because I loathe LeBron so much, and I think Kevin Love's a piece of shit. I don't think Kevin Love's that good.
Yeah, I think he's overrated.
He's been overrated since his Minnesota days, and everybody's like, oh, they got a game changer in Kevin Love. Yeah, they got a third piece. What do you fucking do?
It's kind of like the in boxing, never a white guy comes up. He's like the Great White Hope. And then he always gets beat down pretty bad by an actual competitor.
Right.
Speaking of which, that is.
Have you ever seen The Great White Hype? I think Damon Wayans might have been in it.
I want to. You know, I don't know. I don't think so. Samuel Jackson was in it, right?
I think so. It wasn't that bad of a film. Like, I know people hear Damon Wayans and probably like, nope. It wasn't bad.
Damon Wayans has good movies.
Obviously, I agree.
Not in a while, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, shit, Adam Sandler still has a name value, and he hasn't been in a good movie since the 90s, possibly.
I guess his recent movie he's in was good. He actually had to act.
Wow, good for him. Hell, when Jim Carrey's forced to act, Jim Carrey can actually act, but I haven't seen Jim Carrey in years either.
But it's like, why bother? You get huge paychecks no matter what. Why don't you just do whatever you want?
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. I guess we really should go back to wrestling.
Let's done, aren't we? What else do we have left?
We have 3 matches left. We have Jinder Mahal match next, and I can't imagine we have all that much to say. I mean, wouldn't you agree as soon as you heard that the Legends were going to be out and Bob Orton was going to be out and it was Father's Day that match was going to play out exactly as it played out?
You mean the exact same way the last pay-per-view played out?
Right. Like, I thought one thing I will say is that RKO that Randy hit on the fucking table was one of the prettiest RKOs I've seen in a long time.
I want next pay-per-view, I want to see Orton against the Singh brothers and just have Orton destroy them for like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
I find it kind of enjoyable.
It's therapeutic almost. Like, you've been dealing with shit Randy matches for past 3 or 4 months. It would just be nice to see Randy do Randy things and just be fun. I keep waiting for SmackDown to make the main event a steel cage match because you can't have any interference in a steel cage match. Ever.
That might be coming up.
I'd be willing to bet Russell's hairline that that's coming up within the month.
That's a good bet. I think it's headline safe.
Yeah.
I did like how Jinder went for the figure four and other moves from the St. Louis Legends.
That was nice. I kind of liked... I didn't think the match was that bad. I didn't think it was great. It's nothing I want to rewatch. But for what it was better than I thought it would be.
Having the same ending, though, ruined it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Would you keep this feud? I mean, I don't think you'd keep this feud going. Do you think they will? Or are they ending it?
Do you think it'll end July 4th?
Do?
Yeah. What if that happens, and then immediately afterwards, cash in?
I'm not okay with Cena getting another title run the rest of his fucking title.
Oh, that would actually tie it though, wouldn't it?
No, he's already tied it.
So they wouldn't have that happen on a throwaway SmackDown.
Right.
Cena's, it's not really throwaway, it's the 4th of July.
Cena's 17th title run, which is inevitable, they'll give him the record, will happen at a WrestleMania. And I imagine if they were smart, they'd probably do... Well, I'd say Roman versus Cena, but they'd want Roman to go over Cena. So, some top heel versus Cena.
Braun Strowman, which would suck for Braun, but...
I want Rusev involved with Jinder. That's what I want to see. I thought those two had good chemistry. If they feud, so that'd be great, because the fans would be like, they're both foreign. I don't know who to boo.
That's a good point. What do you do?
I think the fans would flock for Rusev because he's hilarious.
I mean, yeah, you got to be for handsome Rusev.
I don't know. I'm just... Randy Orton needs to move on to something else. I don't know. I don't really feel like I got much else to say about that match, quite frankly. Do you?
No.
All right, next up. At some point, we had the Maria and Mike Bennett thing. You've seen those two perform in the past, I'm guessing, right?
I've seen them... What was it, probably a year ago on ROH a few times. Yeah.
All right. They're better than that promo. Like, they're way more capable than that promo would lead us to believe. But simultaneously, are you kind of intrigued where they're going with this?
I like how he has Maria's last name. That's interesting.
Yeah, because WWE didn't want him to have his own name, of course.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Which is weird, because Samoa Joe and Aries and Styles all got to keep their names. Mike Bennett,
I think they're on a different level than Mike Bennett, though.
Are they on the A double level or the Neville level?
In between, I'd say.
Fair enough. I don't know. I'm intrigued. Like, I think Maria's actually probably the best female on the mic currently, as far as females go. Her or Bliss?
I would say Bliss is better, but that's because I haven't seen Maria on the mic in a while, because they're an Impact.
Right, and I watched a lot of their Impact run, and I can say she's really pretty damn good on the mic, and I mean, we all know I'm a sexist, misogynistic asshole who doesn't like to give women any props whatsoever. So for me to say she's pretty good on the mic says something, I feel.
Yeah, that's a high praise coming from you.
Who would you feud? Who would you start them feuding with?
I don't know. If you want to have mixed tags, it has to be somehow Rusev and Lana, maybe Miz and Maryse at some point.
I don't think they brought Maryse in to wrestle, because she didn't even wrestle that much in Impact.
Oh, well, that's how you better anyways.
Yeah. I just thought
if you have a female manager, you can have them get involved outside the ring and have someone yell catfight.
I mean, hopefully at WrestleMania we get John Cena and Nikki Bella versus those two, and John Cena can pop the question and it'd be romantic as fuck.
Or maybe he should be pregnant this time.
Oh my, see, that's what I want. I wanted live rape during WrestleMania and impregnate her. That would have been a WrestleMania
moment.
Like, yeah,
evaded our showcase, whatever they called it.
Like, Edge could have came out and, like, gave a slow clap or something. It would have been great.
Although
maybe Kane could have came out and, like, nodded, and Snitsky could have came out and said it wasn't his fault.
Edge
Come
is
on.
The ultimate opportunist, though, so who knows if that would happen.
Edge could have came in through the back door. Figuratively, literally, every which way. It would have been Cena and Edge double-teaming Nikki Bella. That's a WrestleMania moment for the ages.
I'm not sure how Beth Phoenix would feel about that, though.
Beth could join in. I'm not opposed to this at this point.
I'm surprised I'm not going to have like a Brazos thing about this now.
Oh, fantastic. I don't know. Mike Bennett seems like he should start off a little bit in the mid-card until you realize Ty Dillinger is their mid-card. And Ty Dillinger, in a pay-per-view that wasted 25 or 26 minutes between a match, couldn't find time to put Ty Dillinger on the card, even though they had 25 to 26 minutes to kill.
I'm actually surprised they skipped NXT for Mike Bennett and Maria.
It seemed like that would have been valuable. He would have been a valuable commodity. I'm still surprised that Drew Galloway or Drew McIntyre is down there. Drew is... They're wasting his prime right now. Drew is in his prime, and they're wasting him away in NXT.
Yeah, and Bobby Roode also.
And Bobby Roode, yeah.
And
by the time Roode gets up there...
His prime's not that great, so...
Yeah. I don't know. I guess Ty Dillinger versus Mike Bennett's the closest thing I can think of, unless, you know, Orton moves on and Orton wants to put over Mike Bennett or something like that.
Yeah.
Orton doesn't seem to be a dick as much. Honestly, Orton initially seemed like the biggest dick of them all, but now I think that Orton is more open to putting talent over than Cena.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he lost a gender twice in a row on pay-per-view. Cena would never do that.
Right, and he subjugated himself to the whole Wyatt family tag team title run and stuff. Like, I don't know, I feel that Randy's just kind of chilling and relaxing and trying to enjoy, you know, the end of his prime.
If only he was like that when Kofi Kingston was feuding with him.
I still say, if they're not going to have Xavier turn, then maybe New Day should be helping Kofi get the fucking world title, because I feel that Kofi deserves one title run. Even if he wins it and Baron cashes in right after, I think Kofi deserves one world title run.
And really, Jinder would be a great champion to lose to Kofi, because it's not like one of the top stars anyways.
Yeah, I think it would be really good. Kofi's a really good wrestling guy. He's maybe like a step below Dolph Ziggler, but he's right there, and I consider Dolph really good. So
I want to see him win the Rumble one of these times with his crazy, you know, elimination type things.
I just want them to give some like mid-card the win at WrestleMania, and then see all the momentum carry over the next 2 months and build up a star. Make a star from the Royal Rumble for once. It's the easiest thing they could do, and they never do it.
But yeah, that'd be nice.
It's just
Sami Zayn would be perfect for that.
Well, that's who I called for. Were we doing podcasts back then? I think we were.
I think we were. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted Sami Zayn to win the Royal Rumble. That was my pick. Didn't happen.
No, he didn't win the Money in the Bank either.
Yeah, and there goes another bad pick. Speaking of bad things, let's touch on the Breeze Dongle versus Ascension fuckery. So when the Ascension came out, to nobody's surprise, we were wondering if they replaced Connor with a Samoan. And then when the lights came back on, we realized that was Connor, and he is grossly overweight. What the fuck?
I think they've spent the last couple months doing nothing.
Well, Victor stays in shape. Like, he's skin and bones, and he ends up doing the job nonetheless, which I think is shit. You should make the guy who's out of shape do the job, not the guy who's staying in shape and actually carrying the match for the team.
Yeah, but it was a throwaway match. Who really cares?
It was a shit match. Actually, I thought it was the worst match of the night.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of intrigued at first when they had the mystery team say they jumped Tyler Breeze, and then the music hit, and it's like, well, that was a no. That's kind of a downer.
I've made mistakes in the past, especially predicting like somebody to be a star. Probably my biggest one that I missed the mark on was Test. Even though I still say Test with the right push could have been the next Kevin Nash.
Triple H kind of killed him.
Triple H got the shovel out and fucked that up. Since then, I haven't been as wrong on a superstar as I have about the Ascension. I thought after their NXT run, I thought they were destined for fucking greatness, and I could not have been more wrong.
NXT apparently isn't a good measuring stick.
NXT knows how to book to people's strengths. You know, you and I have talked about that. They book to the strengths so that nobody looks terribly weak on NXT, and then they get called up, and Vince is like, I'm not interested in that.
Also, they get over on gimmicks and theme songs, which doesn't always translate to ability and urbanness in the general population.
Right. Plus, you're working in front of the same group of people night in, night out, so they're going to have more of a cult following.
And those same people are generally the worst in audience in the history of wrestling.
Yeah. Wow, we are preaching the truth right now, and it hurts. It hurts the Ascension.
Yeah.
I say they put Connor on the Big Show diet, have him off TV for 3 months, and have Victor and Aiden English tag team because neither guy is able to do anything. I'd like to see what they would do as a team.
It's better than nothing. I mean, or you could have like, Connor become the third author of pain.
Sure. Or when he comes back, you either have a feud with Victor and Connor, or you just have like another three-man team. Three-man teams are not that bad. I kind of enjoy them.
Yeah, especially when they're heels, they can do the Freebird rule.
Right, like back when New Day was doing it, and when the Wyatt family was doing it, that all worked pretty well, as far as I thought.
Yeah, even the Shield, they weren't champions, but...
Well, they were.
Some of the best matches of that time were with the Shield, three-man match, six-man tags.
Yeah, well, Roman and Seth were champs, but they never did the Freebirds rule.
Oh, yeah, right.
Back when they were feuding with Cody and Goldust, God, that was a good tag team for a bit.
Yeah.
All right. Someday he'll be back. Hopefully with a mustache. We're moving on to the main event. This was the one match that couldn't disappoint. In my opinion, it did not disappoint. And I think you know by now that I marked out like a kid when I saw Baron Corbin attack Shinsuke right out the gate.
I was all set to say that the ending ruined the match. When Shinsuke came back out, I was like, well, he's going to win it now.
I thought he was going to win it too, and I was going to be kind of pissed off about it, quite
which
frankly.
Which makes no sense. Why make him be a badass face when he gives him the whole match off, basically?
I don't know. Alright, so who do you feel took the most damage that match?
I want to say KO, but AJ dropping from however high up he was probably equals that.
I'm going to give the slight edge to KO because as we was watching, I was like, God damn it, KO took like three big bumps. Now AJ took two big bumps and one of them was a horrible bump. It's tough. I mean, Dolph took his share too. And when the match was over, everybody was, you know, exhausted and in shock. Sami Zayn looked like he may have had a concussion. He did not look right. His eyes were glassy. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Well, they had the whole angle in NXT where he was concussion prone.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think that would be something to revisit. I was really cheering on Sami Zayn, but obviously I was. If Sami couldn't win, I obviously wanted Corbin.
Right. I think the right man won.
Corbin is. They elevated him some more. I don't want to say they made him a star because I think he's already a star, but they've elevated him to the next level, and when he gets the belt, he'll get elevated to the next level. The A-triple level.
Yeah, he's definitely going to... He's going to be a top heel for a while, I think.
And quite frankly, I don't... I watch his matches intently, and I got to say, despite him being my boy... He improves pretty much on a monthly basis. He adds something different to his repertoire. He adds little nuances. He's getting better and quicker in the ring. He's learning how to work a match properly.
Yeah, we probably said this before, but I think when people come from athletic backgrounds, they pick it up quicker than like bodybuilders.
Except for Apollo Crews.
Right. Well, we're not sure what his background is. He was a professional athlete like Corbin was.
Right, Corbin was a boxer and a football player, so yeah.
I mean, boxers have footwork anyway, so he just needs to apply it differently or whatever.
Yeah, that match was really good. I don't know, maybe I'm over-evaluating the match because the whole night was so shit that, like, the shining star of the night, I don't know, I feel like I may be overrating it, but I gave it a 7.8. I liked it. It had a good story that it told. It had good spots that weren't over exorbitant, and it had a good flow to it. I felt all I asked for.
And it had AJ and Shinsuke dueling them for the first time,
and that was fucking great.
I was hoping that they would be so busy fighting each other that someone else just climbed up the ladder behind them and won it.
That would have been sweet. I don't know who took the least amount of damage. If it was Shinsuke, had to be Shinsuke, but possibly Baron.
I would say Shinsuke, just because he was out for like 20 minutes of that match.
Wait, I have to say Shinsuke, because one thing I don't think many people picked up on, there was the spot where Baron's on the ladder and Dolph like mounts him from behind and starts climbing up the ladder. Did you notice that Dolph at one point was standing on top of Baron's hands?
I didn't see it, no.
I can't imagine how bad that hurt, but that had to kill.
Yeah, that can't feel good.
So, and it was, I'm pretty sure it was definitely his left hand, and I'm pretty sure it was his right hand as well. And Dolph, you know, he tried to move, but he was up so high that it's hard to move fast when you're up that high and maintain your balance.
Yeah, so, and Corbin has a black eye, it looks like, from Smack Talking Smack.
Yeah, we noticed the shiner. How long before you would have Baron cash in? Would you have him be one of those guys that holds out for a while, or as soon as like a face wins the belt, he cashes in?
I think he should tease it for a bit, like he did on Talking Smack, and what he said about this Tuesday. Hopefully he won't cash it in Tuesday, but...
Do you think they're going to do the stupid thing where Baron's going job for the next 2 months because he's holding the briefcase? Like, they, I don't know, they did it with Sheamus, they did it with Damian Sandow, they've done it with a lot of heels, especially.
That is their MO, usually, yeah.
It's like, well, he has a guaranteed championship win, so we don't just use him to get over other people. I really hope they don't go that route.
No, that'd be awful. They should have him destroy people for the next however long it takes.
I wouldn't sit here and say that it's definitely a match of the year, but it's a match of the year contender because this has not been a very good year for matches, and we're almost at the halfway point. I would say that this has to be considered one of the top five matches of the year that we've seen. Would you agree with that?
So far, yeah, top 10, top 5, maybe, yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here and I'm struggling. I'm thinking there was Cena and Styles at Rumble. There was the Omega and Okada, I think it was. Whatever. In January.
That one, so I don't know. But yeah, people say it's the best match ever.
Oh, God, no. Fuck people that say it's the best match ever. It's entertaining, but they did so much to cut their ring lives short. It was, hey, let's do a bunch of spots to entertain the fans, and everybody's going to think we're cool.
So it was an indie match.
It was the... Randy Orton should have been on Twitter during that match. It would have made everything way better. Dive.
It was ladder match? No, well... I would say Authors of Pain DIY ladder match, but...
The triple threat with DIY, Authors of Pain, and Revival.
Yeah.
That match
That's definitely
is my match of the year so far.
Yeah.
I would say the other match I'm going to throw in is the UK NXT match that we saw.
Oh, yeah, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. Yep.
Right there, that's probably my top five. I can't think of anything else that I liked better. I mean, there might have been one or two matches that I may have liked as much, but I don't know. Kendo's my guy won match. The what?
The Kendo-stick on a pole match.
Oh, God. Have you read, like, the rumors about what they're thinking about doing with Bayley?
Is she going to end up killing herself?
They're doing an angle. Rumor has it that they're doing an angle where she's never kissed a boy before.
Oh my God.
Try not to puke in your mouth too much, but yeah, that's what I read on Raja.com.
I was hoping it'd be Emma takes her under her wing because Dana Brooke is no longer with her, and she becomes Evil Bayley.
Evil Bayley would be best Bayley at this point.
Any Bayley, other than that kiss the boy thing.
If they go with not never kiss the boy thing, I just don't know. Like, I can only handle so much shit in a single year, and with all the historic and what first time ever, which by the way, Carrie lost her bet.
Bayley's first ever kiss live on pay per view.
Oh my God, that'll be historic! Totally historic. God. Like, are we good on not doing any more historic matches for the year? Like, there can't be many other things out there, right?
Chamber match?
A women's Chamber was in February, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they they've already done a Hell in a Cell.
Didn't it used to be December?
Yeah. Now TLC is in December.
We don't have one of those yet. Oh, did we? We might have.
We've never had an official TLC match.
We've had a tables match.
We've had a tape, which was really good. Bliss versus Becky. I liked that match that a lot. So yeah, we have that to look forward to. I'd be willing to bet Carrie's hairline that we'll get a women's TLC match this year.
That's a good bet.
Yeah. Either way, Eric will be laughing.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. God damn it. We're done with the pay-per-view. All in all,
yeah.
Better pay-per-view than the last one, but aside from one match, it was a one-match show, right?
Yep, one match. That was it. Which really kind of sucks, because, I mean, it's almost like, why even bother watching the pay-per-views now? Just watch one match at the end.
Well, why was there 25 or 26 minutes of no matches? Can you care to elaborate why that was?
Because they didn't want the Ascension going longer than 2 minutes?
I don't think Connor could have gone longer than 2 minutes.
In a tag team match, that's kind of sad.
Like, I feel that me and Twan in a tag team match could outlast Connor right now.
You probably could. I wouldn't put it past you.
I mean, it would be cutting it close. It really would, because me and Twan would have to be tagging out every 10 to 15 seconds, but I think we could manage it.
Just cut the ring in half, keep it on your corner. You can do it.
Throw on a submission move. I would obviously go for the crossface chicken wing.
Even a rest hold.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hell, I would just get into an arguing match with the ref for 15 seconds and kill some time.
There you go. Take a powder for 5 seconds.
Right. Go under the ring, get a drink.
Yep.
Go to the commentary, talk to them. There's many ways to do this.
Talk trash with the fans in the front row.
Oh, I miss when wrestlers did that more often.
Yeah, especially ECW with Dudley Boys.
In your opinion, I think me and Raylene was just talking about this. We were talking about the night RVD took on Cena at the second ECW event. And we all recall, like, that was the beginning of, if Cena wins, we riot. That was the first We Riot sign. Do you feel that there was enough fans that something could have come of that if Cena had won? Like, was there enough of the hardcore fans that there may have been issues?
I want to say yes. I think there was. I think Philadelphia is a pretty good wrestling crowd. So they tend to
Wasn't
go
that
to
the
anything.
Hammerstein Ballroom, though?
Oh, that's right, it was. New City Eve, they're pretty good, too.
They're pretty, like, Philly fans and the Hammerstein, like, I mean, a lot of the Philly fans probably traveled up to the Hammerstein.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably by train.
I think they would have actually had a potential incident on their hands had Cena won that match.
I think they may have thrown shit in the ring, like the NWO Hogan thing the first time.
Cena would have had to been escorted out of there.
Of course, yeah.
For safety reasons.
It wouldn't be a full-scale riot. But
no.
Something
no.
would have happened, probably, yeah.
Which goes back, which now I want to go back to your point about Dudley's. Was there anybody better at riling up a crowd to a riot level than the Dudley boys, in your opinion?
I think Rick Rude could have in the 80s if he went farther than he did.
Like, if he went a little farther than he did, like, with Jake Snake?
Right, yeah. Like, instead of saying, you're all fat and your wife's want to bang me, you know, go a bit farther than that, and he could have done it.
If he could have done that angle in the Attitude Era, that could have been fucking gold.
Oh, yeah, that'd been awesome.
Actually, I was just speaking of Jake the Snake. I just read an interview. I didn't realize he had a fear of snakes. Did you?
I would have no idea because he owned two of them.
Yeah, he said that he wished that they would have given him a cobra because it's so light, but instead they gave him this 100-pound python. And he's like, you have no idea how between my luggage, which he's like, sometimes we were on the road for 2 to 3 weeks at a time, so I had all that luggage, plus then I had this goddamn 100-pound python.
And all his drugs.
Yeah, like, that dude, and he was never, like, in good shape either. Like, it wasn't like he was ripped, ever, I don't think.
No, he's like maybe a guy you'd see in a Broad League softball game.
Yeah, he had 80s wrestler physique.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, yeah, I don't know.
That's interesting. I would never guessed.
I had no idea, and I've watched a lot of stuff on Jake. I think I still have the Jake the Snake DVD that came out, you know, 10-plus years ago.
I still haven't seen the one on Netflix yet about him.
Wait, there's something on Netflix about him?
Yeah, it's like the Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh, about like the DDP stuff?
I think so, yeah. I heard it's pretty good, like really good, but I haven't seen it yet.
I would watch that. You know, kind of staying in the same group of guys, this past week on the podcast with Russ, Carrie was gone. We did the Guess the Wrestler thing, and Russ could not get Scott Hall because Russ asked me if he was ever world champion, and a lot of people were under the impression that at some point or another, Scott Hall had to have won a world championship.
Just the IC and heavyweight, and tag team.
And the U.S., I believe.
No one cares about the U.S.
No. And he also won a World War III Battle Royal. Huh. But he never, ever held the world championship.
Well,
not even his two nights in ECW.
Well, I mean, was he at two nights? Yeah.
Yeah, it was two nights, I think, Poughkeepsie and Schenectady.
We saw one of them, yeah. I had a DVD somewhere of that night.
If you ever find that, please let me know, because I don't know if you have the capabilities to make a copy. If not, I do, and I want a copy.
I'm sure I do. Oh, actually, no, wait. Do I have a DVD of that? I think I did. Because I had VHSs first of a whole bunch of house shows and stuff that I went to. And then I saw where a place had DVDs of them, so I think I ordered all of them, too.
You know what? You sent me the link at one point. I wonder if I still have that bookmarked, because I would go and buy that particular night, definitely.
RFvideo.com.
RFvideo.com. You know what? I'm going to type that in now while I'm thinking about it, so...
They also have entire TNT run. Or TNN run. Which gets expensive, but I kind of want to buy it.
Of ECW?
Yeah. And they have I think they have all the old shows, too, from syndication.
Like, the night that Kamana Wanalea.
Oh, I have that, yep.
God, that was one of the greatest promo, like, the video promo for that. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a video promo as much as that particular one.
Yeah, they played like 5 times a show.
It was great, and I never ordered it when I was watching. I was, you know, a teenager. I didn't have fucking money, or else I totally would have gotten.
Yeah,
all
I eventually
shit.
Got it. It was okay.
Fair enough. Let's see, what time is it? Wow, we actually really did well on time here so far.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, that's what happens when you have back-to-back shitty shows. Looking forward in the future to the greatest name of a pay-per-view never.
The most sexist name in history of wrestling.
How's it sexist, Steve?
Because it's male anatomy. Why can't it be women anatomy? Why can't it be one that both, they both have?
Goodness gracious, great titties on fire, or uterus on fire?
Something like that.
That'd be historic!
It would be. The first pay-per-view named with a woman's potty.
Great for JJ's on fire? I don't know. And see, there goes the bar again. We just set the bar even lower here.
I'd watch that over Great Balls of Fire.
Absolutely. I was actually sitting there thinking during that 25 minutes of hell, I was like, what song would be a great name for a pay-per-view? Do you have one off the top of your head that would just be awesome?
Well, along with the anatomy line, Moist Vagina by Nirvana.
WWE and Rocket League presents Moist Vagina.
It's got a good ring to it.
Wow. I was thinking, like, there's any number of AC/DC songs, although Touch Too Much would be pretty solid.
Didn't they have Highway to Hell already?
They did. It was SummerSlam 99.
It wasn't an actual pay-per-view. It was the SummerSlam thing, yeah.
Yeah, Taker versus Austin, right?
I think so, yeah.
That was actually one of the best SummerSlams they ever did. That was a solid card.
It had a good theme song.
If I'm not mistaken, that might have been the ladder match between Triple H and Rock as well.
I'd have to look it up. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we're talking. I have nothing else better to do. I'm looking it up right now. How do you feel about the Joe and Brock build? Because I'm a fan of it.
It's every Brock Lesnar feud, basically, isn't it, though?
Well, the biggest problem, and me and Russ discussed this, was they didn't. They need that brawl to go about 90 seconds longer.
They should have had to go maybe commercial break and continue on after the break.
Yeah. Or, you know what, maybe just not doing breaks. You know, just tossing that one out.
You gotta have commercials in between stuff, during stuff.
You know what, whatever we're talking about, this is more important. Did you know that they have WWE-themed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures?
That makes no sense at all.
Well, there is the Michelangelo, who is Macho Man. They have Raphael as Sting, Donatello as Taker, and Leonardo, I believe, as Cena.
They don't really go with the Turtles characters, though, do they? Really?
If I'm right on Leonardo being Cena, he was the leader and Cena's the leader. Where it gets really sketchy is how Taker and Donatello are polar opposites, and Sting and Raphael are pretty much polar opposites. Michelangelo's eccentric, at least.
He's a pretty dude.
So him and Macho Man, I can at least see.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe Mojo, if you want to do current wrestlers.
Oh, yeah. Mojo would already have the colors and everything. Alright, I found the card. It was SummerSlam 1998, not 99. I should have known that because that was the summer after graduation. I'm going to read you this card, and you tell me it's not. This is a good card here. You had Too Much, which was Scotty Too Hotty and Brian Christopher, which. Why the fuck were they called Too Much? Anyway, they beat LOD 2000, which was Hawk and Animal.
Why would they all be that Sunny with him, didn't they?
They had Sunny, yeah. Then they had Gangrel versus Dustin Reynolds. I don't know why he... Unless maybe it was actually Goldust and they're just doing it for the tagging. I don't know. They had the DOA, Disciples of Apocalypse, which was 8-Ball and Skull. With Paul Ellering, they beat Bradshaw and Vader. That's an interesting team. D'Lo, he defended his European Championship, probably with the chest protector, against Val Venus in a battle of guys who did the frog splash. The Oddities, they defeated Kai and Tai, which could not have been very good of a match.
Was it John Tenta and someone else?
They had Kurgan, Tenta, who was Golga at the time, and Giant Silva.
I'll say it was three. Yeah, that's right. They had three Kai and Tai.
So they had three huge guys against Kai and Tai.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Let's see. We had X-Pac with Howard Finkel defeated Jeff Jarrett with Southern Justice in a hair versus hair match. I don't even know who the fuck Southern Justice was.
Yeah, who or what was Southern Justice?
Well, let's see here. I'd rather answer that. It had... Oh, it was the fucking Godwins, just under the name Southern Justice at the time. That makes sense.
And somehow the Fink held them off?
I guess? Jeff... His hair... Oh, so that must have been when Jeff Jarrett lost the long hair and went short hair.
Yeah, that would have been a good call. He looks better with a lot short hair.
Then we had Edge and Sable defeating Mark Merrill and Jackie. That could have been okay. Shamrock defeated Owen Hart with Dan Severn by submission in the infamous Lions Den match. I think that was the only time.
Yep.
That match. New Age Outlaws defeated Mankind, who was the champion. I don't know who his partner was at the time. Kane, maybe? I don't know what the fuck happened there.
Did him and Terry Funk ever have the belts?
Chainsaw Charlie, yeah, that was that year. So maybe Terry Funk got hurt?
Maybe. I mean, he was like 90 at that time.
Yeah. Then Triple H defeated The Rock in the ladder match for the IC title. And then Austin defeated Taker for the WWF Championship. That's a good card, I think. Some shit matches mixed in with some... There's at least five matches I would want to see. Like the Bradshaw and Vader match against DOA sounds kind of fun.
You can't go wrong with D'Lo either.
D'Lo and Val Venus back then, I mean, they were both at, you know, close to the top of their game. That's a good card.
It's not bad. Better than what we had last night.
Absolutely. Is Great Ball of Fire going to be a huge letdown? I mean, can it even be a letdown considering the lack of expectations heading into it?
I think it will fulfill our expectations.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
Which is a scary thought.
Will anybody be throwing a fireball?
Better. Maybe have Sabu show up for throw one.
Somebody should, I mean...
Sinister Minister somehow shows up.
James Mitchell, Kane could defect from SmackDown and join Raw.
Yeah, but the only fireball might help his mayoral run.
True. Well, also, do you think Cena might be on the card?
Do you think he'll throw a fireball?
I don't know if he could hide a fireball in his wristbands, but it's possible.
The King threw some fireballs back in the day.
In Memphis. Yeah, it's possible. Why not?
It might be something to do with fire and or balls. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. God, not many people have any fire. Like, Balls Mahoney's not even around, because that... Balls Mahoney should be main eventing Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah. It's only 2 weeks to build up. But do you think they can do a women's Fire Inferno match?
Oh my God. I would pay them $30 to have that match.
What would it be, though? I mean...
Bailey versus Bliss.
It had to be, right?
Well, I sure shit wouldn't want Nia in it, because she can't smoothly go in between the ropes.
Yeah, she'd be in trouble.
I mean, she is the only wrestler alive that's in worse shape than Connor is, which is just impeccable.
This could be one some independent league somewhere that's worse than that.
I don't know. I mean, even when the guys in heavy machinery are in better shape than you, Connor, it's bad. It's bad.
Catch us, Ono?
Oh, Ono, especially wearing the Team USA jersey is pretty fucking awesome and bad.
I mean, he didn't get blown up, though. I mean, he still went the 10-minute match, if it was.
You know, it's funny because, you know, nobody says shit about KO or Bray because both of them look like they've cut about 10 to 20 pounds over the past 6 months.
And they've always been big. Even Joe.
They've always been
so
big.
So with Joe, too.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen Joe cut weight.
They've proven they can go no matter what the size is.
And that's what me and Twan would prove against the Ascension.
I have no doubt you would.
Oh, Christ. Are they going? Do you think with the Cena free agency thing? Do you think that they're going to have Cena work both brands, or like where do you see this going?
Well, yeah, like tryout matches on each brand, see who can hire them.
Yes, Cena versus Ellsworth. I mean, what kind of shitstorm are we going to get here?
How long does he have until his next movie thing or whatever? I mean, I don't know how long he has on a roster.
That's a good question, too. And I can't sit here and be like, Cena's not important because he still drives merchandise better than anybody else. But the reality is, I don't really miss him on the show.
Well, with the right opponent, he has good matches, so he could be another good match on pay-per-view.
I want to see him versus Corbin. I've been wanting to see that for a while. I think him and Corbin could have a good match.
It'd be interesting to see. Usually both of them are better with quicker guys, though.
I'm fine with KO versus Cena happening again. We haven't had that in like 2 years or so, and
Shinsuke
those were good matches.
Cena.
Shinsuke's fine. Sami Zayn versus Cena would really help Sami a lot, I think.
Unless he throws his arm out again before he gets in the ring.
Sammy's the guy. This year, that's my one goal, is somehow, some way to see WWE put Sami Zayn over. They need to make him before he's Cesaro. Like, if he is not a made man by the end of this year, he is Cesaro for life. And I don't want that for him.
Yeah, this is like his chance. I don't know what they're going to do, though. Unless they have him and KO team up.
That always seemed like an inevitability at some point that KO and Sammy would team up, though.
They always seemed to be the independents, at least.
Which would be... I'd be fine with that. Like,
it's another tag team.
Yeah. Could they go against American Alpha?
You gotta find them first.
Missing? God damn it.
We need to get Leslie Nielsen on the case.
Ah, Leslie Nielsen. That'd be solid. I don't know. Is there a guy that needs to push more right now than Sami Zayn on the roster?
Ty Dillinger?
Yeah, but Ty doesn't need as big of a push.
That's true. Plus, his gimmicks kind of has him over right now anyways.
The fact that crowds are still chanting 10 every time the ref tries to do a count tells me that the character's over despite having not been on TV for the past 3 or 4 weeks.
Did you see, was that SmackDown or the last pay-per-view where someone had a sign that said, like, missing, and it was Tay Dillinger's picture?
Oh, God, I don't remember where it was, but yeah, I saw that, it cracked me up. There was an Ascension sign last night, I don't know if you saw that.
I did not.
It may have said, like, the Descension or something like that.
It's fitting.
Yeah, it is. I'll like the upper crust guys. I would say that Sammy needs it. Here's another question that I asked this week on the blog, and I'd love your input on it. Who do you think the WWE needs to protect more to get the most bang for their buck? Shinsuke or Finn Balor?
Finn. Because Shinsuke has charisma and people seem to like him anyways. Finn's just a little vanilla midget, as they used to say.
See, I went the other way. I said Shinsuke because Finn can turn heel and he'll be over as the cool heel guy. Whereas Shinsuke, although he's not much worse than Finn is on the mic, he is clearly at a disadvantage due to mic's skills.
Due to being Japanese. Yeah, that's a tough one. Because him on Talking Smack was not that good.
Although his story about James Ellsworth and surfing was fan-fucking-tastic, when I could understand him.
Right. Yeah, I like at the beginning he walked out and JBL spoke Japanese to him. He's like, I can speak Japanese.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, even though I can't understand Shinsuke, you could tell that the guy has, like, loads of charisma. Like, he sounds like he'd be a funny guy if you could really understand him.
Yeah, I'm sure if they had, like, JBL translate his Japanese or something, it would have been hilarious.
He seemed very frustrated at trying to form sentences on the spur of the moment.
Yeah, and but, I mean, he'll never have a good promo, probably, in front of a live audience. But his natural charisma is going to carry him more than the Demon will for Finn Balor.
Yeah, when will we see the Demon? Not until SummerSlam, do you think?
Probably. You know, they blew it, like, what, his first Raw appearance?
Right, that was one of the dumbest. Whoever went for that was ridiculous, because you just save the Demon for special occasions like they did at NXT, and it worked so well. People were anticipating it and looking for it, and like, oh, what's he going to come out to this time?
But at a certain point, it's like, he never loses, so you knew he didn't win the match.
Yeah. I mean, what was your favorite Demon moment? Or costume, whatever.
I've seen pictures, well, it's not really the Demon, but I've seen pictures of him in Japan where he was Venom. That was pretty cool.
Oh, nice. I have not seen that. I like the Jack the Ripper thing, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre will always get my vote.
Right, the chainsaw didn't make any sense, really, though.
Nope, made no sense whatsoever. But I still liked it because I'm a horror guy.
I thought it was Chainsaw Charlie coming out.
Oh, so speaking of chainsaws, and I did say we'd come back to it, Bruce Campbell. So on my 90s horror blog group, we do a vote to see what the next movie is that we'll be discussing. Army of Darkness won this one.
Awesome. Not his best movie, but it's not really a horror movie either. It's just, it's a comedy. It's an action comedy.
It's a comedy, and alright, I like the movie a lot. I may even love the movie.
I watch it every year. It's part of the trilogy I watch at Halloween. I mean, it's awesome.
My complaint is that there was at least probably two movies that were probably better on the list that didn't get much love. Like, The Conjuring got no love, and that movie is so fucking good as a horror film. That's not to take away from Army of Darkness, which was a great film. It was just, it was a comedy, right, and it's a horror group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. But I would have done Bruce Campbell also, no matter what.
Well, yeah, I figured as much, and that's why I was like, oh, Steve's going to like knowing this. So,
it makes sense for what it is. You know, it's a comedy with kinder horror elements.
Horror, and I would even go so far as to say it has more fantasy elements than horror elements, wouldn't you?
Fantasy, some romance tossed in there.
Yeah. It's a unique film, and I'm going to struggle. I fear I'm going to struggle with coming up with 11 questions. It's going to be interesting, at the very least.
Are you doing the American ending or the other ending?
Well, my uneducated ass didn't know that there was two endings.
Yeah, the one you saw, he wakes up and he's telling a story in Esmer or whatever, right?
Right.
The other ending is Ash being an idiot. Took too many drops and he woke up like in the apocalypse.
Oh.
Ends with him in front of a waste stand being like, I slept too long.
There I go. There's a question right there, Steve. Have you ever seen the alternate ending? That's a good question.
Me,
cause...
only like 8 copies have seen pretty much every single possible edition of a movie.
I can only admit to owning 2 copies of the film.
That's not bad.
DVD and Blu-ray at the very least. My one movie that I own more copies of than anything else is Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Do you remember what? I don't have Laserdisc, but do you remember when they did the DVD covers and they did all 5 guys with all the different colored cases?
Yes.
Yeah, so I have that. I have the, I don't know, 25-year or 15, I don't know, whatever year edition anniversary one. I have one that came in like this case with 6 shot glasses.
Nice.
And Reservoir Dogs was the first Blu-ray I bought, along with Sin City. I bought them at the same time.
You know, you mentioned Reservoir Dogs. There's a video game out based on Reservoir Dogs, but they don't have the likenesses of the characters.
So, I mean, is it still called Reservoir Dogs?
I believe so, yeah.
Is it, like, an older generation?
No, they just came out.
No shit.
But it's coming out soon.
I'll have to check that out. So, they have a game, but they don't have, like, Mr. Pink as Steve Buscemi?
Right, they don't have, they have, like, Mr. Pink, Mr. Blonde, and everything, but they're totally not anything like the actors that played them.
So, I wonder, do you know, like, if it's, like, a heist-type game? Because that's the only thing I can think of is, like, a Payday-type game.
I think it is, but the review I read said it pretty much just ends up being a gunfight.
Huh. Well, I think Payday usually ends up as a gunfight too, if I'm not mistaken. So, alright, that's cool. I will check that out. The thing is, I love Reservoir Dogs, but I can't sit there and even say it's not even in my top 20 favorite films. It's not. I just happened to get a lot of copies of that film. Same with Big Lebowski. I own a copy of the movie on DVD that's inside a bowling ball.
You gotta own that.
Fucking A, right? I own so much Lebowski stuff, like the Man of the Year mirror. I have a replica toe with green nail polish sitting in front of my TV.
That's awesome.
I have a mouse pad that is a replica of the rug that tied the room together.
Nice.
God damn it. I have quite a few things, but those are the ones off the top of my head. Oh, I think I have like a certificate that I'm a Lil Lebowski Urban Achiever Award.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, good stuff. Do you have any Army of Darkness memorabilia?
I have like the action figures. I have by McFarlane Toys, there's 3 of them I have on my wall. One's Esmer Ash, and the other one's, you know, Ash with the ripped up shirt and stuff. And one's Evil Ash. I have a poster. I have a 2-foot tall Ash that talks when you walk by it. That's still in the box.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's in the box still. I never opened it up. I had the Funko Pop Ash and Deadite, and that's
You gotta have the Funko Pop. Everybody has to have at least one.
Yeah. That's all I think. Oh, I also have the Necronomicon edition of all 3 of them. So I have 3. I have 3 books that are in Necronomicon cases.
I thought they only did that for one of the films. I didn't realize they did it for all 3.
They did it for 2, and then some other company came out with, like, a special edition that's all 3 movies and a new remake in a Necronomicon plus a Kandarian dagger.
How much did that fucking say back? 100?
Probably, yeah. It was worth it.
Now, yeah, it sounds cool, except that it came with the remake. I don't know about you. I'm guessing, like, based it on everything, you hate it, right?
The best part was the ending with Bruce Campbell was at the end, after the credits.
Right. I thought that movie was such a slap in the face to the original film, because Evil Dead, I don't know if you're aware of this, is by far the most popular and one of the only horror movie franchises in which the hero is actually male. Because horror is a sex fucking industry.
Yeah, that's which, kind of they kind of had a reversal of the final female. But,
right.
But Ash's name, Ashley Williams, girl's name.
This is true. But still, at least it was a dude.
I should say typically girl's name. There's guys out there named Ashley if they're listening, so.
Yeah, because other people are actually listening to this.
They might get pissed.
That's great. Seriously, the only people that listen to this is going to be Eric and Carrie when they on their way back up here at some point. Like, we help them get through the ride from D.C. to upstate New York.
Well, that's your separate purpose, at least.
That's our purpose in life. Yeah, that's our lot in life, man.
To entertain them.
Oh, we have low standards here.
I read someone's thesis on that at one point about how Evil Dead kind of had the final girl be Ash as a guy and stuff. It was interesting. I can't find it online anymore, but
you know, it's funny because nobody would dare say that the horror genre itself is sexist, but if it was male dominated, you bet your sweet ass it would be deemed sexist. Kind of fucked up if you think about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they're always getting killed.
Well, I mean, for fuck's sakes, man, if we could get a movie where a black male survives, that would be even better.
No, I never saw. I haven't seen Get Out yet, but I'm assuming he survives, possibly.
I mean, do you want to know?
No, I've probably shown it. I guess the ending's the best part of it.
You know, it's funny because I took a lot of flack on my Facebook group for the horror movie group because I'd watched it and I was kind of critical of it. And my issue wasn't that the film wasn't done right. The film was done really well. It was really well done. All that fun stuff. My issue with it is that I've seen variations on that story numerous times. So it was a been there, done that type thought process for me.
So it seemed to me like it was kind of like the Stepford Wives.
Exactly, yes. It's very similar to the Stepford Wives. Any kind of film where there's like a community that has like a dark secret going on. You know, even like Wicker Man or the original one, not the fucking
Nicolas
Cage
Cage
one.
The best. I haven't even seen that Steve. One. No, I refuse to watch that one.
My other issue, do you remember, I want to say it was like, I don't know, early 2000s maybe, the movie Crash that won a bunch of Oscar awards?
Yeah, it sucked.
It sucked. Why was it popular,
racism,
though? Because it tackled all these like
issues. It didn't tackle
issues.
Racism at all.
Right. Well,
it had to be
that's why
it.
People... That's why people love Get Out, is because it tackles white people being mean to black people. It's like, oh, cool, a bunch of liberals like this movie because it has a message. Go fuck yourselves. So, I'm not saying this to deter you from watching it. I'm just telling you how this movie is. Enjoy it for what it's worth, but you are going to have a sense of having seen this film. On the plus side, Bradley Whitford and Stephen Root are in it, and I love both.
You can't
dudes.
Go wrong with those guys. Yeah.
And there is a little bit of a twist that I would never have even seen coming. Completely unnecessary, but it was cool. It wasn't a bad movie by no means. I don't think you'll regret watching it. I can't ever imagine watching that film ever again.
When I saw the
no reason
when I saw
to.
The ads for it, I was like, is this a parody of horror movies or something? Because it looked like it was like a comedy type thing with a guy doing the fist bump handshake thing.
Oh, yeah. 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 It all goes into the whole racism.
I was like, this seems nonsense. Like a parody. I don't know if I want to watch this.
Well, especially once you know that, who was it? Peel or Key? That was
Peel. Yeah, it was the director of it, whatever. Wrote it, maybe? I don't know.
I think he directed it. Once again, from a filmmaking perspective, it was really well done. It's just, you know, there's a lot of people that are not nearly into horror nearly as much as I am, and I get that, but that doesn't make me a scumbag for saying, hey, I've already seen it, I already knew what was going to happen type thing. Like, I'm not the bad guy here for telling people how it is, that the only reason a lot of people like it is because it discusses racism. Whoop-de-fucking-do. You want to know a good racism movie? Go watch Tales from the Fucking Hood. That movie kicks ass.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen
that? Yeah, I've seen that. Yep.
The crazy dude, Clarence William III, you want the shit? You'll be knee-deep in the shit. Fucking phenomenal.
Good movie, yeah.
And come to find out, because it almost got voted in as our movie this month, I went to look to see how expensive it was. The DVD at some places is going for over $100. Apparently, they did not make a lot of them.
Wow.
I never knew that.
I wish I bought it.
I have a copy.
You can sell it for a lot of money. $100, whatever, but...
yeah, more than likely, I'd probably see like $30, and I'd be like, nah, I'd rather just have the movie, because I love that movie.
Yeah, you like, you can make copies of it. What do copies go for?
I have no idea. David Alan Grier was in that movie.
He's a good actor. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially watching, growing up and watching In Living Color, I was really excited to see him.
Right. Yeah, all those guys on that show were good.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we're basically at 8 o'clock, so I don't know. I mean, there's really not much to talk about in sports. Wrestling kind of sucks right now. Is there anything that you're looking forward to movie-wise that's coming out?
I don't think so. Spider-Man, maybe?
I can dig that.
Even though the ads pretty much focus on Iron Man.
That is true. Have you seen Logan?
I have not yet.
My copy just came in the mail today. I've seen it once. I was a really big fan of it.
It's really good. It's on my Netflix list. I've seen it, watch a movie and get sent it back.
Oh, you still do the fucking mailing Netflix shit?
Yeah, you get in movies that way.
Good for you, man. How much is that? Like, does
10, maybe?
10 per month?
I think so, yeah.
That's really not bad.
No.
And especially if you don't want to do the whole fucking pirating thing, that's probably still a good way to go.
Yeah, I like it. It's better than Redbox, too. I don't leave the house.
Right. Fuck leaving the house. That shit is overrated as fuck.
Exactly.
I want to see the Alien film, but probably by the time I get around to it, it will have left the theater.
I heard that's more of a Prometheus sequel than an Alien movie.
I can see that being the case. I also wanted to see that movie called Life that came out in the winter. It had a really good cast, and it looked very much like Alien.
Oh, that's Ryan Reynolds, right?
Ryan Reynolds was in it. There was a couple of good name people in it. I would have watched that. I think it'd be good.
Yeah, that could be good.
I know A Cure for Wellness just came out, so I want to get my hands on that and try it, even though I've heard some negative things about it.
I read some things about a movie called The Void, I think it's called. I think it's kind of like a Lovecraftian type movie.
Lovecraft has some really fucked up shit, which is interesting. Not all of it's good, but some of it's really fucking good.
Reanimator.
There is a porno parody of the Reanimator that I have on my computer.
I have a porno parody of Evil Dead.
Cool. I don't have that.
It's
I have
Evil Head, I believe.
Evil Head, nice. You know the video game series Left 4 Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Left 4 Head and Left 4 Anal. They weren't very creative on the second one.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I mean, what do you want from porno?
I don't ask for much other than China not to be in them, and she's not anymore.
Yeah, if she's in one now, stay away from that one.
I mean, why hasn't Sunny been involved in more of that stuff? Like, she couldn't... Why not?
I don't know if people want him in porno now.
Honestly, once you see it, you... There was just
90s Sonny would have made a killing.
90s Sonny would have been worth billions, possibly millions.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Nowadays Sonny,
what was it she quoted you?
Oh my god, what the fuck was it? It was like $100 for the month for to web chat or some shit.
I thought it was 100 for like a few months of Snapchat or something, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe that was it. And even she's still, lowered her like price since then.
That's kind of insane.
Yeah, she's lowered her price to the point where I was like,
if there ever comes there.
Like, I could alright, so say like it was $30 or $20 a month. $20 is like a pizza. Now, granted, I love pizza, but could I go without a pizza for 1 month to get lots of tawdry images of Sonny? I could consider that, at the very least.
I would say it's a better deal than what's-her-name's ring attire.
Oh, God, I can't even remember her name, but you're right. That was some expensive shit.
Although,
Maria Manic?
If she ever takes off, I mean, that's probably cheap.
What was it, though? It was like $300 though, for I think.
Yeah, I imagine it's that cheap to make that stuff. But yeah, that was kind of insane.
Although, I don't know, quite frankly, if I could save up enough money, I would revisit that possibility.
$300 gets you a championship replica belt, I think.
Yeah, but, I mean, is that really worth more than above average looking chick's ring gear who could eventually end up in NXT in a Mae Young tournament?
In my opinion, the $1 million championship is.
Well, yeah, that's the greatest looking belt of the history of ever.
I mean, the other ones, not so much. Maybe the ECW.
The white Intercontinental. Oh, see, I like the white Intercontinental title.
Yeah, that's
always
a
fan
too,
of it.
Yeah. Or the Hulk Hogan belt, the Eagle belt.
Oh, yeah. When Warrior had the Intercontinental and Hogan had the World, those were some nice belts back then.
Now they look like plastic or something.
Yeah, they've cheapened it. John Cena's cheapened the shit out of the belts.
You like the spinner belt?
No. No, I don't. Does any self-respecting wrestling fan really like the spinner belt?
Not if they're above 10, I'm guessing.
All right, there you go. I liked Edge's Radar belt.
I like Stone Cold Smoking Skull belt.
Yeah, that worked really well. I didn't really care much for the Brahma Bull one for Rock. I thought it was not as cool.
Yeah, Stone Cold's definitely better than Rock's.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Well, I think we've hit our point of where we normally hit.
Yeah,
so,
we're about 2 hours, so that's pretty much it.
Yeah. We've killed enough time for you, Carrie and Eric. Go fuck yourselves.
We can't do much. I mean, it was a 3-hour pay-per-view with, like, 2.5 hours of wrestling, maybe.
Oh, God. There was probably maybe 2 hours worth of wrestling, I would say.
And maybe only half an hour of good wrestling?
Right. Honestly, it was the one-match pay-per-view, and I don't know how the hell we managed to get 2 hours out of a one-match pay-per-view, but that's what we do best.
It's pretty lengthy, off-topic discussions.
Yeah, but they were the best part of this whole podcast. I don't even necessarily know if anybody really cares about the wrestling discussion at this point between us.
People might feel the same way.
Right, people were like, will they shut the fuck up and go on some tangents, please?
You know it sucked. We watched it.
I just found out that the new season of Mike Tyson's Mysteries is out.
Huh. I never watched it. I tend not to watch Adult Swim stuff.
I haven't been watching TV aside from wrestling or I select like 2 or 3 shows for the past, I don't know how many months.
Well, wrestling's like 15 hours a week.
Honestly, if I didn't have to worry about wrestling, I may not even have cable. Yeah. I don't even have cable, but I have PS View. Like, honestly, I just don't watch it. I have Netflix, I have Hulu, I have all that I need.
Yep.
And I know how to, you know, go online and find stuff if need
be. Yeah, if they ever went to the network for SmackDown or Raw, they'd make no point to watch anything on TV.
Right. But yeah, I found Mike Tyson's Mysteries, and then I saw another repeat of Rick and Morty, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, if they would get that new season out. That would really help me out a lot.
It's never
love that show.
I'm never gonna see it.
It really is. It feels like one of those shows that you're just waiting and waiting, and it's just all big fucking joke on you.
It's like Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem. Did you ever buy it when it came out?
Oh no, I didn't want to bother with it.
I did, but I waited till I got it used for like, I don't even know, $10. And I did not get my $10 worth.
Ouch. That's saying something.
Well, I mean, for me, for video game worth, I say that for every dollar that I spend on that game, I better get 1 hour of playtime out of it, or else it's not worth it to me.
So it was like 8 hours?
Oh, God, I think I played it for less than 2 hours, to be perfectly honest.
Wow.
I just didn't get into it as very generic feeling. And really, though, that's why I really don't buy many games brand new, because how often am I going to play a video game for 60 hours or more?
Yeah, I have the new Mass Effect Andromeda, The Witcher 3, and Metal Gear Solid that I have started and am nowhere near finishing because they take forever.
Now you're on PS4 though, right?
Yeah.
See, that's a problem. I don't know enough people on PS4 that warrants me getting a PS4, which sucks. I'd rather just have all three systems, but
it's expensive.
It's expensive plus like, there's only a handful of games that I really want to play, and usually they're cross-platform. Like, when God of War comes out, yeah, I'll get a PS4. There's no doubt about that, because I have such a hard-on for God of War. But, I don't know. There's really not much else exclusive on PS. There's not a ton of exclusives anymore.
No, there isn't. The Nintendo games look good. The new Mario game looks pretty good.
Yeah, and there's a new Bowser amiibo in a white wedding suit. And I don't know if you know this, but I have a huge thing for Bowser, so I kind of wanted to get it, except I don't really understand amiibos all that well.
I thought they stopped making amiibos. I thought they stopped those games.
Apparently not, because I have a buddy who just posted a link, and it's for Mario's Odyssey. Is that the name of the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're still making them. And why would they stop, though? I mean, they're making a killing off of these stupid little plastic things that people buy for the novelty of it. They're no different than Funko Pop, except some games gives you a little extra boost or some bullshit.
I saw the Lego had things like that. I think it was Lego Dimensions or something. And one of them's the A-Team. I was like, I don't play Lego Dimensions, but I kind of want the A-Team figures.
No shit. Oh, A-Team, that's awesome. I only have one amiibo, and it came with a Legend of Zelda game that I bought.
Oh, it's Link.
Actually, I think it's Midna. I think it's from the Twilight Princess game.
Oh. That's weird.
So it's not even that, or it's Wolf Link. God damn it, I don't really remember now, and I'm too lazy to get up to look.
You would think it'd be Link or Zelda or something.
Yeah, well, if it's the Twilight Princess, which I think it is, then Midna would make a lot of sense since she was a big part of that game. I also understand that a new Metroid's coming out.
Yeah, I heard that.
I love Metroid, so please, that's great. I mean, if they give me enough reason, I would get a Switch over a PS4. But they have to give me reason.
Right.
Because the Wii U...
More than like one game.
The Wii U was not worth the money that I spent to get it.
Oh. It just wasn't. It definitely wasn't.
Like, it's not a bad console, but the tablet was kind of quirky to work with as a game controller. It worked for some games, but not many, quite frankly.
Did you play the zombie game for that?
The game that's called Zombie? Yeah. I didn't, but I bought it on PC because they eventually released on PC, and it was chock full of glitches, so I still don't have an opinion.
I got it for free in the PS4 network thing, and I played it for a bit, and then all the games came out, and I was like, I'll get back to it eventually, and then never did.
Well, there you go. That's a huge problem that we all have, dude.
No time.
Dude, I have all the fucking time in the world. I don't have enough time to play. About 2 years ago, I had a really bad habit with buying bundles of PC games, like Indie Gala.
Humble Bundle or whatever.
Yeah. Right. I'm not shitting you. I own over 1,000 Steam games. I have played less than a tenth of those games.
Yeah, I kickstarted some games that were like the old Icewind Dale games. And I started those. Okay. I never finished those either.
I missed out on the opportunity to get the Kickstarter for Friday the 13th. Well, at the price mark that I wanted. I did not want to pay for... Oh, you get your name in the credit. I don't give a fuck about that. I just want the game cheap.
Yeah, Kickstarter's tough, too, because you never know. Especially from a small developer, like I think Friday the 13th was, if they really actually fulfilled their promises.
But Friday the 13th did have Tom Savini on board, and Tom Savini played Sex Machine in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Isn't he also a special effects wizard?
Yes, he worked on the original Friday the 13th.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I think he does Walking Dead now too, right?
Oh, no, that's Nick Taro.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But Savini still does a lot of stuff, and... The other underrated thing is stupid, but the opening of the game is very much like a VCR layout. I don't know, just kind of adds to the time.
The 80s time, you know, thing.
Yeah. It's nostalgic, that's all it is.
Hey, that's big these days.
Yeah.
If I could have found it, I would have bought the Nintendo thing.
You mean like the original game? The
Nintendo Mini, if they called it. They had the 30 games loaded on it.
Oh, my friend Biddy bought that for her husband for Christmas.
I mean, I probably when you would play like three of those games, all three Mario Brothers, and I had those already, but I still would have bought it if I could have found it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have access to them on my computer because, you know, I had access to it. Obviously. Quite frankly, though, at one point I owned a good portion of those games, but we come from a generation where, like, if you think back to, like, if you still own a Nintendo or Super Nintendo games, half that collection wasn't even yours. It was your friends that you borrowed and you just kept for some reason.
Right. Just, yeah, they just kind of end up with you.
Right. Like, I would say half my Super Nintendo collection... it's not really mine. It's just, but I'm missing a lot of my games. So
at this point, what's yours is yours.
Yeah, I mean, if it's in my possession, whatever. Who really gives a fuck? It's not like it's one of those rare, expensive games like Earthbound goes for over $100 easily.
Earthbound
now.
And Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh yeah, Conker's, yes. I never got a chance to play that game.
I played it somehow. I don't think I own it, but I know I played it.
Yeah. I don't even know if I... It was N64, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Last I knew, the emulators for the N64 were not that good.
Oh, so that sucks. You missed all those games.
Yeah. I remember because... Back in the day, I thought it'd be cool to play, like, Mario Golf, because I didn't have my copy. I was like, oh, I don't feel... Honestly, I don't feel bad if I have a ROM and an emulator of a game that I fucking own, because, you know, whatever, I own the game.
Right. Yeah,
but
the digital copy of
it. It played like shit, and so did Gauntlet... I think it was Gauntlet Legends. Or it may have just been like Gauntlet 64. I don't know. It was that era, though. And that game was so good, but it played so bad on PC through like an emulator.
Huh. I'm sure they're better now, technology-wise. Maybe not. I don't know.
Probably. Like, I really haven't looked into it because I have most, like, every N64 game that I really want. So all I really have to do is just suck it up.
You know a game I like?
I'm not that
lazy. Super Nintendo? Bill and Bia's Combat Basketball.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That was a fun game.
That was a fun game. I don't know. I think Super Nintendo is probably my favorite generation of games. Could be nostalgia, though.
Well, Super Mario 3 is, like, the greatest game ever made.
Yeah, but that's an original Nintendo.
Was it Super?
No.
Super Mario 3 was original?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'm HIV positive.
Huh.
Because they debuted it for The Wiz.
Oh, that movie, God, The Wiz. Fred Savage. That and the Power Glove.
Oh, the Power Glove, which they used in Nightmare on Elm Street Part 6, Freddy's Dead.
That's right, they did. And Freddy's glove ends up in Evil Dead.
Yeah, because there's all this... Was it you and I discussing that there was a thing between Evil Dead and Nightmare on Elm Street where they kind of like had shout-outs to each other?
Yeah, I think maybe. But I know they did that, and then the next Nightmare on Elm Street had Evil Dead poster ripped in half or something.
Yeah, it was like this running gag between like Wes Craven and goddamn, what's his name that's behind Evil Dead?
Oh fuck, Sam.
Sam Raimi, yeah, yeah. It was like a thing between those two guys, so they like kept including each other's stuff back and forth. It was pretty funny.
Nice little Easter eggs for people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the idea for them was saying this is even more scary than Nightmare on Elm Street. Or something.
Yeah, it was kind of like this one-upsmanship, but like a wink at each other as well.
And then
well.
Wasn't there Hills Have Eyes in Evil Dead 2?
Good chance of it, which would have been another Wes Craven. They could have had that. They could have had Last House on the Left.
I think it was one of those two, I think.
Yeah.
It was positive.
It's weird. But yeah, Mario 3 was Nintendo... The first Super NES game was Super Mario World.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't as good as 3.
And yeah, Super Mario 3 is probably the pinnacle of NES gaming.
Oh, yeah.
For a lot of people. I mean, it had so much to do.
Yeah, and I remember I had to beat it by using the P-Wing and the swim thing, those two pirate ships.
Yeah, some of those pirate ships, like, I could get through, like, the first two okay, but some of them got so hard that I just couldn't do it without, you know, using some of those cool costumes.
You had to, almost. I mean, it's almost possible not to.
Or Game Genie, because Game Genie fucking kicked ass.
It's a shame it's not around anymore.
I remember my Game Genie, and it broke probably, like, 6 months in. Like, the handle kind of snapped, so I had to, like, scotch tape it and be very gentle in pulling it out. But it was so awesome.
I remember there was something for the PS3. I don't know if it was Game Genie or not, but I had to get it for the Fire Pro Wrestling
game. Okay.
To download people and put them on.
That's interesting. Well, there was, like, a Game Shark at some point as well.
That might have been it. I'm going to use Game Shark.
Yeah, I could see that. Huh. Fire Pro Wrestling. I have that on something. If it was on the 360, I may have it on 360.
Yeah, one of them might have been, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to really cut this off at this point, mainly because I finally finished my mug of my White Russian, and it was a tall mug. And I need to relax now.
Sounds good. I mean, you've been on here for 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
so... the pay-per-view itself.
And much better than the pay-per-view. So, was it 3 weeks we'll be back for Great Balls of Fire?
Is it 3 or 2? It seems to be like it's 2.
I think it's 3.
3? Wow, we get a week off.
Yeah, I think it's 3 weeks, but whatever Monday it is after it, me and Steve will be back doing this nonsense.
After the wonderful... Wonderfully named Great Balls of Fire.
Yep, after we get mad that Brock Lesnar killed Samoa Joe in under 3 minutes.
Hopefully setting him on fire in the process.
Yes, if there's not fire, we riot.
Exactly.
Alright, with that being said, for Steve and I will say have a good night, enjoy your wrestling for the week. Don't be nice to each other. Be as big of a dick as possible. You know, text and drive, you know, all that fun stuff. Let's lower the fucking population a little bit.
We need to.
Right. Also visit 9deuce.com/wrestling. Yeah. All right. Have a great night, guys.